lives of our understanding.
Amen.
That's the main thing, right? Let's just sing that. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Remember, the service is now Sunday. We'll stay like it is until we tell you to change
open
anything. It'll stay
eyes of
as
my
it is.
Heart, Lord.
How many coming and what's doing?
Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you.
That's our desire tonight.
Amen.
We greet you in the name of the Lord, all the ones that are at home and the ones that are here. It's a small little group, but, you know, I was thinking, I just to quote Mr. Rogers, he said his mama used to tell him when emergencies and things would happen, bad things would happen, and you could look around and see all the, you could see all the people helping out and see all the helpers kind of. And, you know, when bad things kind of come on the scene, it really exposes a lot of good in people. And you can see, we think about how all the things we've got to be thankful for tonight. We've got all these nurses here that are, Sister Sarah and I'm forgetting somebody, Sister Ruth and Sister Hope. Yep. All the different ones that are Amy. That's right. That are working hard and then this group here that's come together, and we thank Brother Dale and Brother Wade for, you know, opening up the church so that we could keep,
amen,
keep this going.
Amen.
So we're just so grateful. You know, I was thinking coming up the road tonight, we're serving the great shepherd.
Amen.
And he's the Bible says he's the door of the sheepfold.
Yep.
And if he's the door, that means nothing can come in and get the sheep. Unless the shepherd allows it. Unless he kind of steps aside for a little bit to kind of train us up or get us honed down. I believe it's honing down time. Our faith is being honed up a little bit. Sometimes it takes a little bit of pressure and things to kind of see what we're made of. But I believe it's time. So let's tonight I'm going to read from Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And just one verse, really. And then we'll go into the message. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we're so grateful to you tonight, Lord, to be able to gather together around your word, Lord. And we know your bride is not really even located in one particular place, but spread all around the world. And tonight, Lord, we're spread amongst all our different homes. But we're gathering together just the same around your word, Lord. And as we all gather together around your word, where the carcasses, the eagles will be gathered together, as the scripture says, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'll open the eyes of our understanding and help us Lord, to be encouraged tonight and to be edified, and that something will be said to strengthen your little bride and to give faith to her. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you'll be with us tonight, Lord, not just in this building, but in all the little homes that are separated all tonight, Lord, because of the conditions and things, that you'll be in each little home, Lord, a little lick of fire everywhere, Lord. We ask, Lord Jesus, these things in your name. Amen. So Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now tonight I want to take maybe a kind of a strange topic. I just want to talk about the Holy Ghost at work.
Amen.
And this is not going to be a really deep lesson or anything. I just want to kind of take a look at the change that the Holy Ghost wrought in the lives of the disciples, and the change that the Holy Ghost has wrought in the lives of us, and the thing that the things that the Holy Ghost is doing us in us to identify us with the Word and to encourage us and help us. And when I'm talking about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, I'm talking about that thing that in sundry times and diverse manners spoke to the fathers through the prophets. That thing that in the Old Testament it said the Spirit moved over the waters and out from the earth came forth all those seeds that were lying there, that it sprouted up, that Spirit that was in Jesus Christ. And when that Spirit came back in that dead body that was laying in the tomb, that Spirit rose up that body and caused him to come forth from the tomb. That Spirit that the Bible says, if that same Spirit is in you, it will quicken your mortal body. Just the same way as it quickened Jesus' dead body laying there at a tomb. If that Spirit will quicken your body. So you see, the Holy Ghost is at work. Many times it might seem because of circumstances and things, you get down in life and it looks like the Holy Ghost is still not moving, that God is still not with you. The Bible says he is a present help in time of need. He'll never leave you or forsake you. The Holy Ghost is the thing that brings the Word to life. It's the thing that will bring that dead letter to life off of the page of the Bible, it living inside of you. You see, the Bible says that if you can just open up your heart to let that Spirit in to quicken the Word that you've heard, then that puts God Himself inside of you. That's what that Spirit will produce. Let's see, let's read the first quote in Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, if the Christian church is the vine or the branch that's in Christ, they'll do the works of Christ and bear the life of Christ. By their fruits you shall know them. Now then, the way that he is today, he's here in the form of the Holy Spirit working through his church, performing the same things that he did there. That makes him the same yesterday, today, and forever. His life, the life that was in Christ, which was God, produced the kind of a life that he lived in. That same life comes into his churches, his church members, since they have been purged by the blood and given the Holy Spirit access to work through them, bears the same fruit that he bore. So therefore the world can see then that Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So there we kind of start off with the identification of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in you will produce that same life that was in Jesus Christ. And I believe tonight that we should be looking for that in our lives. We should be looking for the impossible. We should be looking for the miraculous. Because when you become expecting to see God move on the scene, then you will see miracles. You will see signs and wonders follow. The Bible says that signs and wonders would follow them that believe. Why? Because the Holy Spirit within them is the one that is producing the effect of them believing. The Holy Spirit in you is the one that agrees with the Word. It's the one that is doing the thing. It is the one that is performing His Word. You see, as we kind of get into the lesson tonight, the Holy Spirit had an effect on the lives of the disciples when it fell on them at the day of Pentecost. It changed their whole makeup. It changed their whole attitude. And it began to produce in them the life of Christ. And what happened on the day of Pentecost was it made them witnesses of an experience. It made them witnesses that something had happened to them. They could go forth and tell as Peter went downstairs from the upper room, he went and began to proclaim what had happened to him, that this is that, and he identified it with the Scripture. He was a witness. And when the Holy Spirit begins to do something in your life, it makes you a witness, that you know that something has happened. You know that the Holy Spirit has come upon you and filled you with his power and changed you and taken you from out of the world and changed you to make you like Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, it says in chapter 1, verse 6, it says, when they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You're going to be a witness. In other words, a witness means to have a knowledge of an event or a change from personal observation or experience. You were there. there when it happened. And along and along and along through your Christian journey, you're going to be a witness of all the things that have happened to you, the time that you got sick, or the time that you lost your job, or the time that everybody around you was falling sick to a plague, or whatever it might be. And you can look back and say, I was a witness that God was on the scene. He came down when I had needed of him. He didn't leave me alone. He didn't leave me helpless. And Deuteronomy chapter 31, 6, it says, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, of all the enemy in the land that they were coming to. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doeth, that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake you. And that's the scripture that Paul quoted in Hebrews when he said, the Bible says that I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is a present help. He is a God. That's what the Holy Spirit does in your life. If you'll just yield yourself to him and let him come in and work with you and move in your life, he will be there to take care of your problems. He'll be there to handle the things that you can't do within yourself. Because what it does is it makes you a witness that God is able, that God is faithful, that God is present. He's a present help, that God is working. The Holy Spirit is working on the scene. He's moving. You're a witness that you're not afraid to take the witness stand because you know what you've seen and what you've experienced. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. He said, you must be born again. The born again is experience is something you can try to explain and you can try to tell somebody, but it's something that you can only know if you have experienced it for yourself. You must be born again. And I encourage you, I implore you in this hour. This hour is more than ever. You should be looking upon the things that are happening and realizing that you need to run to the cross, that you need to run to the altar and seek deliverance. Repent for the hours at hand, I believe. I believe that now is the time, now is the manifestation time. In the end time evangelism, Brother Branham said in 1962, he said, now today we try to take the written word we have in letter form, creed form and so forth to all the world, and there's been missionaries going everywhere. But what do we find when we get there? A native that can't read his name holding a tract in his hand. He knows no more about it than he does, which is right and left hand. But when Jesus said, go and preach the gospel, he never said, teach the word. And I don't believe he's meaning there we don't need teachers. What he's meaning is we don't need the laying out of it to replace going into the Holy of Holies for yourself. If you look to somebody else to give you an explanation that bypasses you going for your own personal experience, you going through justification, sanctification, baptism in the Holy Ghost, going into the Holy of Holies where you look God in the face and you know for your own self that God is real. That's the kind of teaching that we don't need. He said, never said teach the word. He said preach the gospel. And the gospel came not in word only, but through the manifestation of the word. For the only way that it could be done was to make his promise come to pass. And I believe that's what the preaching of the gospel does tonight. It puts the Holy Ghost into action. Because when the word goes forth and you sit there and you open yourself up to it and you say that has got to be the truth, then God begins to effect a change in your life. Someone guy can read like that in William Jennings Bryan when he was debating with Darrell on the ethics of Darwin. See, he could only say what Darwin had said. And William Jennings Bryan could say what the Bible had said. That was the debate. But in this case, God comes along the people and proves that his word is made manifest. And the only way you can do that is not by a tract, but by the Holy Spirit working through you. Your life becomes his life. He's in you. Do you realize that's the kind of change that the Holy Spirit makes? The Holy Spirit makes the Word of God manifested in your life so much that you become the proof of the Scripture. Your life is the proof that the Word is true, because God is making that Word that you have read come to life. It is living in you, a living voice, a lived voice living out in you, thundering out. You say, well, how do I get healed? Paul, the Gospel of Mark says, and he said unto them, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. In other words, this is not a dead religion that we're following. This is a living manifestation of the power of God. The power of God is still in his church because the Holy Ghost is still working. The Holy Ghost is still effectual in his people.
It makes you a witness because you have lived through something. In John chapter 4 verse 23, Jesus was talking to the woman at the well and he said, the hour cometh and now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And as he began to speak to her of these things, something quickened in her. Not to take her to a new birth experience because Jesus had not died yet, but she began to realize who it was that was talking to her, and the Spirit began to work in her life, and she ran into the city to be a witness, to tell who she had talked to. In 1 Kings chapter 17, 13 and 14, it says that Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And that little woman became a witness that she obeyed the word of the prophet and God kept her through perilous times. God, she was a witness that God did not depart her in the time of trouble, in the time of need. She was a witness. You see, what the Holy Ghost does is it transforms people that are cowards from powerless, prayerless, doubting and faltering witnesses of Christ into bold and effective servants in His kingdom. The power of the Holy Ghost is to transform you. The Spirit of the Lord is changing us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. In other words, you're looking into the mirror of God's Word, and you see it a little bit like it's looking through a foggy glass. But as you keep walking, the Spirit of the Lord is changing you to match you up with that image that you see in the Word. The Spirit is changing you. Why? Because the one that started the work is going to finish it. If God starts this work in you, He's going to see you all the way through. He's not going to leave His work halfway finished. He's not going to abandon you halfway through. The potter is working on you, and he's going to mold you into a finished work. He started on you, and He's going to see you all the way through it. Romans chapter 8 verse 30 to 31 says, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God can be for us, who can be against us? You know what I believe that's saying is that God is on your side. If He's justified your soul by the new birth, if He's filled you with His goodness, He is going to see you through. Do you realize the power in faith and believing and knowing that God is on your side? God is with you as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. God is with you to cause you to not fear no evil. God is with you. He's walking with you. He's carrying you through all these troubles. And when their eyes were open, they knew. And Brother Bram said, and I think that today we've had much preaching. Many fine ministers, able ministers that has brought us the word, your pastors and evangelists and so forth that comes through the city. But I think the main thing that I'm trying to bring to you is the reality of the presence of Christ. Glory. That you might see Him and know that it's Him by His identified promise for the day. And you know, I believe that's what the message was sent for. That I believe that's what the preaching of the word is sent for. The preaching of the gospel is sent to reveal to you that God is here. He's a present help. He's not a God of history, raising God out of history. He's here with you, working and changing and molding you if you'll let Him, because God is on your side. God is still on the scene. He's still real. He's still saving and He's still healing, and the Holy Ghost is still working. Tonight I want to witness what the Holy Ghost is doing. The Holy Ghost is overcoming the things of this world. Let's tonight just kind of take a few moments to look at the lives of the disciples before and after they were transformed by the Holy Ghost falling on the day of Pentecost. And look at the change that was wrought in them. You can identify your own life with those scripture by looking at the things that happened to them, and you can look back and say, that happened to me too, I believe tonight. I believe that'll encourage you and strengthen you. In Luke chapter 22, verse 31 to 33, and it says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Because you see, before he was converted, he was not able to be any kind of use to his brethren. How could he strengthen them? How could he give encouraging words? How could he help anybody without that love of God then on the inside to love somebody even if they would smite him on the cheek, to love somebody even if they wronged him, to love people in the church even if, when they don't treat you the way that you think that you should be treated. But after the Holy Ghost fell, let's read what happened to the disciples then in Acts chapter 2, verse 44 to 47. It said, "All that believed were together and had all things common." Why did they have all things common? Because the word that they had been quickened, and now they didn't care for themselves more than others. Now they cared for the whole body of Christ. They wanted good for one another. They were all joined together in one accord. And I want to declare to you tonight, being in one accord does not come by just trying to manufacture something, but being in one accord comes by the revealing of God's word. As you eat the word, you become the word, and that will bring you more into one accord. There might be some like Lot that'll go away from Abraham, but this little small group is going to get honed more and more together until we're like that little group in the upper room, all in one accord, all believing the word of the hour, all believing and waiting for the word, for the Spirit to come and quicken that word that we've held. And sold their possessions and goods and part of them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as be saved. I believe that tonight that same Holy Spirit can work that same kind of effect in the people of God. I believe it is working that same kind of effect. I believe that's why you see the church of the living God coming together in hours like this where they might be closing doors, but yet there's something down on the inside of your heart that says, I'm still gonna gather together, whether it's in my home, whether it's a little small group in the church like we are here tonight, because there's something in me that's desiring for the word to see God's word fulfilled. Something inside of me that's pressurized, that's pushing out. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 21, he said unto her, "What wilt thou?" She saith unto him, "Grant that these my two sons, the sons of Zebedee, may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom." And then also in Luke chapter 9, verse 46 to 48, "Then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be the greatest. And Jesus perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him and said unto them, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great." And you can see that before this change was wrought, every one of them they wanted to be, they were constantly bickering and fighting who among them would be the great. And then Jesus laid it down: if you want to be great, be the least. Something changed after the new birth. After the new birth, they began to serve one another. After the new birth, they began to do for one another. After the new birth, they began to love one another in a way that could not be expressed before the Spirit of God fell on them at the day of Pentecost. You see, even in John chapter 18, verse 10 and 11, it said Peter did not know how to react to somebody that disagreed with him. He pulled his sword out and he whacked the ear off of Malchus, the high priest servant. But in Acts chapter 5, verse 41, it says they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They went from trying to hack one another with a sword to rejoicing that they would, that somebody would rebuke them openly, that somebody would ridicule them and revile them and whip them and beat them in the street. The Holy Ghost is changing you. The Holy Ghost will change you if you let him. But I, you know, one example I believe in the Old Testament that kind of talks, is a type of this kind of change, is when Jacob, he was ready to cross over to meet his brother Esau. And that night he was scared to meet Esau because there's a before and after to this story here. Before he met the angel of the Lord, he was afraid to go meet Esau. And Brother Branham breaks it down and he says Jacob was afraid because to go talk to Esau because he knew the way that he had treated him. In other words, all his past began to come up. He was afraid because of all his sins were coming up before him. He was afraid to go meet Esau. I wonder tonight, many listening in tonight, if you might be afraid to meet Esau. You might be afraid to go meet all the things that you've done in your past life. The way that you've treated others, your past sins, or your lying, or your thievery, or your backtalking, or your evil ways, the way that you treated your mama and daddy, or the ways that you treated your children, all these things, afraid to meet Esau. But you know, Jacob did something that I believe many maybe should kind of take witness of and learn from, and he got serious with God, and he began to, and not that night he met, he, God came down and he wrestled with the angel of the Lord, the Bible says. He was, you know, I believe that wrestling with the angel of the Lord is when you read the promise of God in His Word and you say, that promise is for me and I'm not going to take no for an answer. You know, many times God will tell you no and you need to just kind of accept that. But when you read in the Word, it says healing is for you, salvation is for you, the promise of the Holy Ghost is for you, and you think that you're being told no, you just stay right there and you wrestle it out until you're walking different, like Brother Wade was preaching on, until that sign you in the hip is touched so that you walk different, so that the Holy Ghost changed your life. And I believe there's something that same kind of change that was wrought in Jacob's life can be wrought in the believer's life now. Where Jacob was not afraid to go meet Esau. He rose up and with gladness went to meet Esau on the next day. Brother Branham said, and as I thought on my ways, he said, there might be many in here tonight is thinking about going home. Old age is catching up with you. Sickness has got you in a grip. Better think on your ways before you get there. Am I in that timely? And as Jacob on his way with his wife and his children, he heard a message coming that Esau with a great army was coming to meet him. And he began to think on his ways, the way he had done Esau, cheated him, and it drove him to prayer all night long. He wrestled with the angel of the Lord. Let's go down to verse 40. When the angel of the Lord touched Jacob, he walked different from then on. He was a big, fine, running coward on one side, but a limping prince on the other side of the brook. You walk different and you think different. He wasn't afraid to meet Esau then because he had wrestled with the angel. Think on your way. He had wrestled it out with him saying, you promised it. I want my blessing. And he stayed there until God blessed him. And then he wasn't afraid anymore. Let's go to Luke chapter 9, verse 51. Here's another example of believers, of the disciples not knowing how to react to those that did not believe the message that they were preaching. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not manner of spirit ye are of. Think how many, maybe look back in your own life or the lives of others that you've been acquainted with and how quick we are sometimes to want to rain down fire on people that don't believe the same way we do. For the Son of Man is, Jesus said, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. You know, these are the sons of Zebedee. Jesus called them the sons of thunder because they were like this. They were ready to just boom, just get right to it. But you know, one of these sons of thunder, one of these sons of Zebedee was John, who went to the Isle of Patmos. And you know, his life was changed by the Holy Spirit as he went through his journey until by the time he got off the the Isle of Patmos, the story goes that he went to pastor the church at Ephesus, and they said later on in his life they would bring him, kind of carry him in, and he would lay there on his cot or how in his chair or however he was positioned, and he would tell everybody, little children, just love one another. Just love one another. Because you see, that man that had once desired to call down fire from heaven on the people that disagreed with him, now the Holy Spirit had changed his life to where he loved. That's the kind of change that the Holy Ghost will affect in your life. In 1 John chapter 4, 6, 13, he says, "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Listen, he's telling you how to have discernment.
Right. Yeah.
"Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins."
Amen.
"Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us and his love is perfected in us."
Right. Thank you, Lord.
There's some other quotes I got here about Esau and everything, but I'm just going to skip over that. Listen, because do you see what the Holy Spirit did in the lives of those believers? Is it conquered their natural, the natural way of the flesh. It, that when on the day of Pentecost, when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, it began to conquer them so that it took out all of that anger and enmity and all of that strife. It took it out and changed them and transformed them. And I say these things tonight to declare to you that God is transforming you now if you'll just be cognizant of what is going on in your life. To realize that you ain't the same as you used to be. To realize that God has taken you, he's taken you through a journey and you're different than how you used to be. Brother Brown said, "And faith is our victory." He said, "Faith is a conqueror. Faith is an overcomer. It just isn't a peacemaker. It overcomes. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world." What does it do? What is faith? What is the conqueror? Conquer and victory is the same. To conquer, it means to beat down, to override, to handcuff, to throw into prisons. It means that the sin that once ruled you, you rule it now. It means that you have overcome it. You've whipped it. You're greater than it is. Oh, I feel religious right now. Which was first, a sinner or savior? A savior, for a savior is more powerful than a sin. That's how powerful the Holy Ghost is in the heart of a believer that's given over to it. The Holy Ghost can conquer all that ails you. It can conquer that temper. It can conquer that bad attitude. It can conquer that enmity at home with a husband and wife that are feuding and fighting with one another. It can conquer a home where the children are at enmity with the parents, because the Holy Ghost is love, and love is the thing that will cast out devils. You know, Brother Branham said you can cast out devils more easily by giving your wife roses and putting on an apron and washing the dishes and all this. In other words, by showing love, not necessarily by laying on your hands and causing a great big commotion and casting out the devil like that. Love is the thing that will cast out the devil, because love is the thing that will conquer all. Faith is the conqueror. Faith and love is what God will affect in your life by the Holy Ghost. And you see, that same Spirit is guiding you to the Word. You see, one of the effects of the Holy Ghost is it takes you, it leads you to the Word. It's changing you. It's changing your attitude, and it's causing you to desire the Word more than the things of this world. And that's one of the effects. One of the examples of the disciples is before the Holy Ghost fell, they could not bear the truth. They could not receive all of the truth. It was too much for them. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 16 verse 12. He said, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Amen. He shall not speak of himself. Right. That's the way a lot of people want. They want to just kind of go sit under a tree or sit in their home and not come to church and not read the Bible and just have the Holy Ghost lay it all out for them. Yeah. But he says, whatsoever he shall hear, in other words, whatever word you bring it, right. Whatever word that when you're sitting in the congregation and you hear the word, what he hears, what the Holy Ghost hears when you bring it, when you receive it, that's what he's going to speak back to you. Because the Holy Ghost in you is speaking back the word, that's speaking back the true interpretation of the word that you hear when you go to church, when you press play at your home, when you're riding in your car listening to the word. He's speaking not of himself, but he's speaking what he's hearing, what the Holy Ghost in you is hearing, receiving. He speaks it back, the correct interpretation. And that's why when you get the Holy Ghost, now you've got the true interpreter of the word in you, where you can receive the word. You can receive the deep teaching of the word. And that's why John, in 1 John chapter 5, he said, we know. He began to speak of the assurance of understanding by the new birth. The things that we know, now we have understanding. He said, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And listen, I want to declare to you tonight that if you are not this kind of certain, maybe it's time to do like Jacob and get to wrestling with the angel a little bit and find out where you stand. Because I believe, especially in this hour, we need to be at a place where we know that we are of God. And he said, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding. Given us what? An understanding. You understand the word, because that one that gave, that wrote the word is inside of you, and he's speaking what he hears. He's speaking the true interpretation of the word, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. What does the Holy Ghost do? It calls you out of confusion. It calls you out of Babylon. It calls you, do you know Babylon goes back all the way to the Tower of Babel, because Babel means confusion. Babel became Babylon, and Babylon became the Roman Catholic Church, and the Roman Catholic Church had daughters, and all it was a bunch of confusion. But we've been called out of confusion to a perfect understanding of who Jesus Christ is, a perfect understanding of who he is in this hour. We know, I believe, just the same as John knew, because we've heard the same message that John was preaching back then, the same truth that he was preaching. Brother Branham said, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he was talking, quoting this scripture, he will guide you into all truth. He said the evidence would be that you would be in the truth. You would be in the Word of God for your age. Evidence has to do with receiving that word. That is the evidence. The evidence of the new birth is that you can receive that word. The evidence is that you agree with that word. The evidence is that you understand the word. You know the word. You understand the word, and you agree with the word. Why? Do you know when you get the new birth, when God begins, even before you get the new birth? I was talking to Zach the other day about how when he was 10 years old, the Holy Spirit was moving in his life. But even when you're young, you might resist a little bit. But it's the Holy Spirit guiding you and moving you and taking you. Go over here. Step over into this little mission church off to the side of the road. Go into this place. Listen to what these people have to say. It's the Holy Spirit leading you and guiding you to all truth. And when you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he will continue to lead and guide you. He's a God. You've got just as much a God as those shepherds did when that angel appeared to them and said, he's the one that you're looking for has been born in Bethlehem. Go. And they told him exactly down. The angel told the shepherds, you're going to find him in a manger. Go to Bethlehem. Go to the manger. And this is where you're going to find him. And you know that, do you know God leads you just like that? You might not realize it, but if you can look back in your life and find out you went from over here to over there, but God was holding you down, keeping you in line with his word, guiding you and keeping you. Listen, church, tonight, what do we have to be afraid of? Because God is on our side. God is with us. He's moving us. He's moving us to line up right with his word. He's taking care of his word. He's taking care of his people. John chapter 10 verse 25, it says, Jesus answered them, I told you and you believe not. the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of ye, of me, but ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. In other words, that voice is the thing that is leading you. That voice, the sheep will follow the voice. Do you know that Lazarus was one of his sheep? And when Lazarus was down in the grave, he heard that voice. And the voice called him up from the grave. And because he was one of the shepherd sheep, he had to follow that voice. That voice is so powerful to the sheep that you've got to follow it. Because the shepherd is living on the inside of you, and he's causing you to follow. You can't help but follow you. The Holy Ghost is a guide to bring back to your remembrance the things that have been spoken to reveal to you. The Holy Ghost is, it's a guide to see what was in the heart of the prophet. To have an understanding of these mysterious things that he talked about. The shout, the voice, and the trump, and the threefold mystery, and the Daniel 70 weeks, and the seven thunders, and the seven seals, and how it all ties in with the statue of a perfect man. Listen, we've not heard just man's ideas, but we've heard a voice that has brought us from captivity to liberty, to the great liberty and love divine, to understand the mind of Christ, to see where he was placing things in the Bible. That voice is the thing that guides you and eliminates confusion. Brother Branham said, and what was the Holy Ghost given for? And that's a good message to listen to. He said, if you've got it and are guilty of these, I wonder what's leading you. God will never lead you off the Word. He'll keep you with the Word, because that's God's own laws of his church for his people, for women and for men. Well, you say, it don't harm me to do this or that. It doesn't. You see what he's saying there? You say you've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and yet you're saying that you don't have to stay lined up with the Word, that you can get off the Word. The Holy Ghost in you will make you want to get lined up with the Word. It will make you want to get as far away from the world as you can to stay right lined up with it. He said it doesn't. The Word says it does. And if the Holy Spirit is in you, it'll lead you right to the Word. There'll be no excuses. God don't make alterations or excuses. He makes the mark and you tow it. I wonder how many of that would hit tonight, think meditating on that. He makes the mark and you tow it, but yet we want to make excuses so many times. I wonder if the church doors were open, how many would be here tonight? If the situation was a little bit different. Because we make excuses for things. Excuses for not following the Word of God. Excuses for not doing what the Word says. Excuses for not believing the Word. Excuses I wonder if there's still a lot of the world in many of us where we want what's right for us more than the things of God. Where we want what our way more than God's way. But if God is leading you to the truth, we'll lay down our own ideas and our own thoughts and lay down everything and say, do like Jacob did and say, Lord, I want your promises. Give it to me. Whatever it takes, I'm willing to die right here. In Matthew chapter 26, Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended of because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd. Because look, another thing, before the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost, the disciples had no constancy. They had no foundation to keep them steady in the faith. No foundation to make them consistent. All ye shall be offended of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended of thee, yet will I never be offended. He was so full of himself, he thought that within my own makeup, within my own lineage or whatever, if I just try hard enough, then I can do it. I can overcome. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Amen. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Look, it don't matter how sincere you are. Before you get the Holy Ghost, you are not pressurized to withstand the things of the world. You have not been given power to overcome until the Holy Ghost indwells you. But after the Holy Ghost comes, then, you know, when an eagle is pressurized to fly up into the heights and stare into the sun. Why? Because he's built in that makeup. The makeup of the eagle is to fly high and look straight into the sun and go higher than all the other birds, because God has put in him, he has equipped that eagle, that bird, with the ability to do that. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost equips the believer to fly high, to be pressurized, to withstand the atmospheric pressures, to withstand the things of this world. Pressurized like a blue whale that can go way down into the deeps. You can be pressurized to go down into the depths of God's word. Pressurized to understand the deep hidden mysteries. Pressurized to withstand all the things that the devil can throw at you. Because there's something on the inside that's pushing out. Something, you know, think of it like an astronaut. An astronaut has that helmet on their head because they've got that pressure on the inside of their suit to withstand the lack of atmospheric pressure on the outside so that they can go up to the moon. They can fly way high. And Brother Branham said, now we're in the atmosphere age where you can see the natural. In the natural, they've gone from the Wright brothers to the airplanes on up to the astronauts. Because in the spiritual, we're flying high also. We're ready to escape the gravitational pull, the natural bonds. And God has equipped us. He's given us the things that we need to take this flight. He's pressurized in this hour. He's given us something to pressurize. Listen, when all the world begins to be in gross darkness and pressurized on the outside with sickness and frailties and misery, there's something on the inside that's pressurized to push out against all that. A pressure that you know where you stand because you've got the understander on the inside. You see, Peter made his big boast, but in John chapter 21, 18, 19, something had been changed. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, Jesus talking to Peter, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he signifying by what death he should glorify God. Another, the man that once boasted that he would not deny Jesus and then denied him three times before the cock crow. This man had been transformed into a man that said, I'm not worthy to die in the same manner that my cross died. Let me be crucified upside down. This man had been transformed into something that was willing. He was willing and able to be a witness of the things that God had done for him in his life. Brother Branham said, and thou knowest all things. He said, it's in me, eternal life. Now we are the sons of God. Now, not we will be, we are now. That's what the trouble of it is. People, you people that's born again. He said, you let the devil kick you around like a football. He said, stand on your ground. You're in Christ. He said, let the devil kick you around. That's the trouble of it today. Another Christian person that's sitting here sick, if they only knew that they were sons and daughters of God, now living with Christ. Not you will be. Now you are the sons of God. Now you've got the day of Pentecost fully come 1900 years ago. Now is the hour. Now is the time. Now is the accepted hour. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. Now is when healing is supposed to be. Now is when miracles take place. Now is when Christ is revealing himself. Here we are now, not in the future. The devil keeps pushing it off. That's Catholicism. Now is the day. This is the hour. This is the time. This is the place. Right now. This is the day. You know, I believe he was doing the same thing that I'm trying to do tonight, is to reveal to you, to expose that God is still working in his church, that he's affecting a change in you even now as you listen to the word being preached. He's doing something in our midst, even though it might not look like it, but yet something is being wrought in. He's honing down time, and now is the time, as he's saying, now is the time for healing. Now is the time. time when God is revealing himself in his bride. Now is the time. Don't look to the future like the Catholics do. Don't keep pushing it off. But now is the time. Now is the hour. Because look, what's another thing that the Holy Spirit does? The Holy Spirit makes you agree with the word. Before the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost, they could not understand the will of the Father. They could not agree with the Word because they didn't know what they were agreeing with. They had nothing within them to say, this is that. In Matthew chapter 16 verse 21, it said, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from me, from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. In other words, he had no understanding of the requirement of that, what it took to fulfill the word of God in that day. Now apply that in this day. I believe now that God has given to us by the preaching of the message an understanding of what it takes to fulfill the word of God in this day. In that day, Jesus had to die on a cross. But in this day, there's a bride that's predestinated to fulfill the New Testament by receiving the word that she's heard. The word that was preached by Jesus as he preached for 3.5 years. Now the full unveiling of that word has been received by a bride. And that is your part in fulfilling the word. In Acts chapter 2, verse 37 and 38, we know Peter then was given an understanding of what it would take to fulfill the word. And he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, because the scripture became open to him. His understanding was open, and he it was revealed to him who Jesus Christ was, and identified what had happened with this Old Testament scriptures. That this is that. And then even was able to explain that this is a promise that is given, and who the promise was given to, because he had understanding. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 21 to 25, it says, and as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Because listen, before the new birth was given on the day of Pentecost, they had no spiritual discernment. And let's see how John explains spiritual discernment in 1 John in a second. He said, as Judas was sitting there, he said, they were exceedingly sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. And they began to look around, and everybody was wondering, who is it? Even though he plainly told him, Judas even asked him, and he says, is it me? And he said, pretty much yes. And yet they looked around without any kind of spiritual understanding. Imagine all the deception that Judas had portrayed as he walked with them, and the things that he had done. But yet their eyes were veiled to what was going on in their midst. But John, in 1 John chapter 4, he says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Notice how he explains discernment. Now we know Brother Brown had prophetical, that kind of gift of discernment where he was able to see the spirit in a person. But I believe that there is a certain type of discernment that every born again Christian has by discerning with the word. In other words, you listen to what comes out of somebody's mouth, and you know what's in their heart, because from out of the heart the mouth speaketh. You know what's going on by whether somebody resists the word, when you preach the word, whether they say, well, I don't believe that. That can't be true. You know the state and the position of that person. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. He said, is come in the flesh. In other words, the testimony is that God has come into the flesh of his people, that he is come right now in this building, sitting here in your homes right now, listening in. He is come in your flesh right now. If you hear somebody say he is come, know that he, identifying with Colossians 1, 26, 27, this mystery that was hidden from ages to ages, but now is revealed to the Gentiles, the mystery that Christ in you Christ is in you, the hope of glory. God is tabernacling himself in you. And you know that when somebody does not confess that, there's something wrong. And that is how you know the two spirits. He said, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. In other words, that spirit of Antichrist confesses that there are no witnesses, that nobody has the right to witness the word of God, that nobody has received the word of God for their self, that the Holy Ghost is tabernacling in themselves. They do away with the witness of the word. They do away with the preaching of the gospel, because the preaching of the gospel is a witness that the word of God is true. It's a witness. The preaching of the God is the manifestation of the word of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, and listen how he explains this. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Think about coming to a place, a position of understanding where you know the word and you know your maker so well that you know that if somebody does not agree with the words that you speak, something is wrong with them. I believe that the bride is coming, that if the bride is the final voice under her messenger, not above or without her messenger, but under her messenger, then she will be able to speak the words that the messenger has said. And if you do not agree with the words that the messenger has said, then there's something wrong. You see, agreeing with the word is the identification of the Holy Spirit. That story that Brother Wade was preaching on about how Sarai, before the type of the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the Old Testament, Sarai means contentious. And whenever the word goes forth, you'll see people begin to rise up in contention. Maybe not openly, but in their homes, they'll begin to speak out against the ministry. They'll begin to speak out a bit against the things that are preached. Or maybe not even... Many times lately, they're even speaking out without realizing, speaking out against the things that the prophets spoke that they proclaimed to believe. When you disagree with the word, when you are contentious, just like Sarai, that shows that there's something wrong down on the inside of your heart. Something is wrong because it shows that there's something that is not believing down on the inside. That's why Sarai said, she said, well, I don't know if I can go along with you having a child. Let me find another way to do it. That's what contention does. It tries to find another way, an alternative to fulfilling the word of God. Maybe I can just get the word for myself. Maybe I can just figure it out on my own. I don't need, like the Ethiopian eunuch, somebody to kind of help me along the way. Maybe contention is disagreeing with the word. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5 to 8, Paul's talking about all having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from search turn away. He's laying out that spirit, that Antichrist spirit that went down from Balaam and Janus and Jambres and Jezebel and all the different types that we know of. He said, for of this sort are they which creep into houses, creep in the house, sneak in and lead people away where you'd find out a wife is leaving her husband so she can follow after something that she's been led away. All these things that are going on. I almost can't speak openly, but that's all right. Are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Janus and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the truth, resisting the truth, not agreeing with the word, not agreeing with the word, no matter how simple it is. Now, let's don't get confused, but with things that happen as you grow up, the stature of a perfect man, things that you don't understand. But when you openly say that cannot be truth, I don't believe that it's true that I have to dress that particular way, or I have to walk that particular way, or I can't smoke this particular thing, or I can't drink this thing. When you begin to disagree with the word and say, I disagree with the law and the prophets and all these things that have been laid out in the mess of the hour, that shows that there's something wrong. Brother Brown said, whether we're Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, or Pentecostals, or what more, he's talking about the doctrine of Balaam. The doctrine of Balaam was we're all the same, that there's no difference. He said, ye are a separated people, holy unto the Lord, dedicated to the word and the spirit of God to bear fruit and his promise of this day. And you're not of them. I know that's awful strong, but that's the truth just the same. Dedicated to a servant in this last day. You think about the doctrine of Balaam was to say that we're just all the same, that there's no difference, that we don't have to separate, but God told you that you are a special people. You are a separated people. We're not making something special of ourselves. He's the one that said you're special. He's the one that said I'll never leave you or forsake you. He's the one that made all these promises and told you not to forget the benefits. In the faith of Abraham. Let's go down to paragraph 21. He said, then you can understand, because the Holy Spirit is within you. Every time the Bible said Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, a good intellectual person wants to be popular will say no. Jesus Christ is a great healer. Go ye into all the world. These signs shall follow them that believe. The unbeliever shakes his head, but if the Holy Spirit is in you, he will say, amen, right. Amen. It'll agree with the word every time. The spirit and word has to agree. And then that's the reason the children of Abraham believe those things, because they are God's word, and it's God in them vindicating his own word. Amen. Now, if you can receive that, that's not skim milk. That'll help you put vitamins, spiritual vitamins in you. In other words, if the Holy Ghost is in you, that's the thing that is making you, putting you putting in you that desire to come to church, to listen to the word, to open up your Bible. And it's that thing that is causing you to agree with the word. Because without the new birth, you cannot agree with the word. But with the new birth, you have to agree with the word. It will agree with the word. That is the evidence of the new birth, is you are agreeing with the word. When the word is preached, you say, that's got to be the truth. And it keeps unfolding and unfolding. And you know that it's true because that thing in you is agreeing with you. He said, in perfect strength by perfect weakness, because faith will always agree with the word. And then if your faith is contrary to the word, or if you think it is, then you haven't got faith. And the faith can only be built upon the word of God, correct faith. And in the Great Commission, he said, we are so intellectual. Everything is moved away from the spirit. It's the word, it's word, it's word. But sure, I believe in the word. But if the spirit don't agree with the word, in other words, if you don't have a revelation, an understanding of what the word is, then you got something mixed up somewhere. Look at when Cain, he was just as religious and just as much with the word as Abel was. It was a revelation that made the difference. They both worshiped. They both brought sacrifices. They both built an altar. They both belonged to church. They both were sincere. They both worshiped. So if God ought to respect sincerity and fundamentalism, why didn't he respect Cain? But through revelation, Abel being just by revelation, no scriptures in them days, God had revealed it to him. Amen. That it wasn't fruit, apples and oranges taking us out of the Garden of Eden. It was blood, the life. Do you agree tonight? I want to read some quotes, some scriptures real quick, and you don't have to scroll through them. I'm just going to go through quick some of these promises of God in his Bible that I believe now in this hour, the real believer will agree with. And the Bible says in 2 Samuel, it says, in the afflicted people thou wilt save, for thou art my lamp, O God, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop. By my God have I leaped over a wall. And Brother Brown said, the troop of death will have no holders to it, to this bride. She'll run right through it, leap over the wall between natural and supernatural, and go into the arms of God. And I believe these kind of scriptures are the things that now we are able, by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, quickening the word that we've heard, to agree with. We can look at these promises in the Bible and say, I agree with this. Brother Brown said, even death will come and say, he's coming up your sleeve, and you'll say, give away, Jordan, I'm crossing over. Psalm chapter 46, verse 1 to 5, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams thereof, whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. Amen. Psalm chapter 34 said, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are upon their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. In other words, I believe that these scriptures are all saying the same thing, that the Holy Ghost is with you. He's on your side. He's changing you. And don't be afraid, because God's there. He's with you. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Listen, if I get sick, I know somebody that can heal me. If I die, I know somebody that'll get me out of the ground. I know somebody that can redeem, that's redeemed me. I know somebody that's paid the price. I know the antidote to all that. I've been inoculated with the Holy Spirit inoculation, the Holy Spirit vaccination to take us, to protect us. Brother Brown said, and he swore by himself, he said, then if you are Abraham's seed, you can't dispute with God. Abraham's seed is a part of this spirit, for God gave Abraham a sign of circumcision, cutting off the flesh for a witness he had received him. In this last days has took the Holy Ghost and circumcised every believer, of cutting off all doubts and unbelief, to believe God's word is pure and holy, and it's the truth. Circumcision, cutting away all unbelief, everything, cutting loose every shoreline, saying, God, I believe you, live or die, sink or drown, it's your word, I believe it. And I believe that is the evidence of the believer in this day, that says, because the believer has been changed to a person now that can take a hold of God's word and say, I believe it come what may. I agree with it. I agree, just like Mary did. I agree for the impossible, because God's word promised that God would do the impossible. Do you know that Brother Branham said that we are called in this hour to believe for the impossible? When you see that God's word says that he is going to do the impossible, and you agree with it, watch signs and wonders follow you. Because you're agreeing with what God has already said. The believers, the disciples, when they saw Jesus curse that fig tree, it looked like something that impossible. And the Bible says that they marveled at it. But then that same promise is supposed to be fulfilled in this hour. You're able to speak the word. You know, it looks impossible. It looked impossible when Hattie Rice's children, she said, I want the salvation of my children. It looked impossible, but it came out of her mouth and it came to pass. You know, it looked impossible when that angel came to Mary and said, a virgin shall conceive, and that promise is going to be fulfilled in you. You are going to be fulfilled, the fulfillment of that promise. And she said, be it unto me according to thy word. And she believed what looked like it was impossible. She believed the impossible. Because Jesus said, when that angel said to Mary, he said, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Brother Branham said, in the unchangeable word of God, he said, that word was good enough for her. She said, behold, be the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And she started to rejoice over it, not wait. See, she had to believe the impossible. She had to believe something that never happened. That's what we have to do. We have to believe the impossibles to see new life. How can we believe the impossible? except we be equipped with the Holy Ghost to give us power to agree with the Word, to give us power to see the change that God has wrought in our life, to know that God is present and on the scene now. Now, those of you at home, just kick back and relax in your recliner a little bit. I'm just going to go a little bit more. I know now, see, you have the liberty to just take your rest and pull that comfort up around your knees and maybe get you a little sip of water or whatever and just be blessed. Because I'm saying these things to encourage you to bring to your remembrance that God is with you, that God is on the scene, that He's with you in this hour of need. He hasn't left you. Maybe it looks like impossible out in the world as the sickness falls across the land. It looks like an impossible situation as more and more people are getting sick. But listen, God is, I believe He's holding us down to where we can believe for the impossible, what looks like the impossible, to call the dead saints from the ground. To call the dead from the, we're going to see the dead, what looks like something impossible, moving among us. We're going to see our bodies changed, something that looks impossible, because God is a God of miracles. He's a miracle working God. He's a sign working God. He's a wonder working God. You know, the disciples, when they saw Jesus begin to break bread and fed the 5,000, fed all the multitude, that was a thing that looked impossible. But you know, it identified Him with the one that fed the children of Israel as they journeyed through the wilderness. And the disciples looked on that and they said, I know that that is the same one. That's got to be Jehovah Jireh that provided that lamb for Abraham as he was about to slaughter Isaac, as he was about to sacrifice Isaac. I know that that is the same one. That's got to be the same one that provided water for the children of Israel in the wilderness. That's got to be the same one. And I believe we can look into the Word tonight and say, I know that that same one that provided man in the wilderness and provided those loaves and fish for the people gathered around, I know that that same one is still on the scene to provide for me healing in the time of trouble, salvation for my family, whatever it is. Because why? Because I agree with the Word. I agree with His promise. I'm trying to find a place to stop here now. Brother Bram said, in believing God, he said, you've got a soul beside your senses. God never give you those senses to trust Him with. God give you His spirit to trust. Your sense is only to contact, see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. But to you yourself is that spirit that lives in you. And when that's been regenerated and the old man died and the new man born again, that is a part of God. Then you become a son of God, an offspring of the Creator. Then you can believe the impossible things because you're made up of the miracle working God. You're a part of Him. And Brother Ryan said in the message influence, he said it's the Holy God in that church. Not the Holy Man, but the Holy Spirit working in that man. Do you know what that means? That means that that's the Holy Spirit that is agreeing with the Word. That's the Holy Spirit that is accomplishing and fulfilling His Word. And that takes all the burden off of you, because all you have to do is just believe it and watch God perform it. You know, I say that maybe to relieve you from the burden. This is maybe I know many people have been burdened. Well, what if I get sick? Everybody's going to look at me and say, well, that person doesn't have faith. Listen. This is not an hour of judgment. Now is an hour of faith. And you are not the one that has to fulfill the Word of God. All you have to do is believe it. He's the one that made the promise. You remember that sermon where Brother Branham was preaching and then God just took over Brother Branham's body and began to speak out through him. And he said, Brother Branham has nothing to do with this. It's me. I'm the Lord. And he said, I'm the one that made the promise. He's the one that made the promise. He's the one that is going to fulfill it. All you are obligated to do is believe it. See, that takes the burden of proof off of you. Just put it back in God's lap. All you got to do is just lay. I believe that's what Jacob did when he was wrestling with the angel. He just took God's promises and laid it in front of him and said, you promised it. Now bring it to pass. I believe that God wants us to see us do that.
But you got to know what he promised. Get into the word and find out what he promised for you in this age. And then I believe that you will see God fulfilling miracles. And now is the day for miracles. I know we don't put much stock as far as a proof and signs and wonders. But listen, where there is faith, signs and wonders will follow. Signs and wonders cannot help but follow because the Creator is living on the inside and He is the one that will produce. He is the one that will produce the Word. He's the one that will fulfill it. You know, I believe that God has been preparing us for such a time as this. And preparation comes in strange forms many times. Preparation, when you're ready, getting ready for a battle in the military, they make you crawl through muddy ditches and they make you crawl under barbed wire and do things that are unpleasant and they'll rub shoulders with one another. I'm getting into the church now, rub shoulders with people maybe that disagree with you and we're hard with one another and things like that. But yet we come to a place like Noah did. There was a preparation time. There was a time where he was building up and then he got locked inside of the ark and the door was shut and he was in there.
Right.
Rahab, there was a preparation time where she was listening and then she hung the scarlet cord out of her window and then she was stuck inside that room.
Right. Yeah.
Preparation time was over. All she had to do was wait
right.
and just have faith and watch God do wonders. God will perform a miracle and all, you talk about something impossible. With all the city of Jericho fell down around her and her little house protected by that scarlet cord showing that inside that house was a believing house. All around her fell down, but she was safe inside of that. Noah was safe inside of there. Listen, there comes a time where all that preparation comes to a head and then you see the fruit of your labor. Listen, we've been preparing all this time, and I believe now the preparate time of, and I'm saying all this because I'm gonna go ahead and say it. Out on the internet, many people are saying, well, we've been preparing because we have just stayed home and not going to church anywhere, and that's been preparing us for staying at home and not going to church anywhere. I wonder what kind of thing you are prepared for if you don't agree with the word, if your life is not matching up with what the word says you should be doing, are you truly prepared? And I don't say these things to shake you or anything, but maybe it's the time now that you should be checking up. The day and the hour is now that you should be checking up where you're standing. Preparation time is where you're stocking up your storehouse, your personal storehouse. You're packing yourself in with the word. You're maybe jostling with the stranger in the camp and people that disagree with you. You're coming to a revelation of what this message is to you. Something is happening in you to change. And because of that, then you are prepared to do like Noah and be locked away. Then you are prepared to do like Ruth, to do like Esther and Abraham, to be set aside. And then you've come to the preparation time. Now you're prepared. Brother, what, you know, the word, because the word of God in us agrees with the word, and that is our joy. That's what the word of God has brought us to. Because the Bible says in John chapter 15, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. And that is our comfort, that we have the word, that we understand the word, that we know the word, and his word is abiding in us. The musicians can go ahead and come forward. Listen, the Spirit of God is effecting change. The Spirit of God is with us now. The Spirit of God will cause seed to come up. It will cause a reaction. And God is still on the scene. He's still real. He's still saving. He's still healing. He's still a provider. And the Holy Ghost is still working in the hearts and lives of the believers. He's still here. Don't be downhearted and downtrodden. Know that God is still on the scene. He's still alive in his people. I hope that you're encouraged tonight at home listening in, all the ones around the world, maybe people overseas or wherever you might be, and that you're encouraged tonight to know that God, but you know, thinking about Noah and all the ones that they had prepared, God is bringing us to a place where we know for ourselves and we can stand on our own two feet. Maybe one day you'll come to a place where you don't have your pastor with you, or you don't have anybody, the ministers, the deacons, you don't have anybody close at hand to come and lay hands on you. But what you'll have is the revelation of God's word to keep you through. And that will keep you. And I believe that's what we've been preparing for. Packing it in so we're prepared. Go ahead, let's sing a song. Amen. Stand to our feet.
Fill my way with love. Talk about a walk here. Amen. Let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to the land above.
He's leading us and guiding us. Amen.
Made me whole.
for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. I cannot tell just how you felt when Jesus took your sins away. But since that day, yes, since that hour, God has been real, for I can feel His holy power. My God is real, real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel in my soul.
Amen. Amen. To know that God is that real, that you know He's in your soul, that is a great blessing in this hour. Amen. Amen. I believe God is so good in His church.
Yes.
He's not left us. He's not forsaken us. Amen. And He is on our side.
Amen.
Everybody feeling good tonight?
Amen.
I hope you're feeling good too out there on the internet, Amen, listening from home. Amen. And have been blessed. And are not stressed or distressed.
Yeah. That's right.
Feeling good.
Amen.
And like Brother Matthew said, we're too anointed to be disappointed. That's too blessed to be stressed.
Amen.
And all those other things. He's got a long list of things back there. Yeah. That's right. Too predestinated to be hated.
That's right.
Amen. Anything else?
I am going to do, it's been requested that I do Sunday school. So this Sunday, 9:45, I'm going to do Sunday school downstairs with just a regular recording. Then we'll put it on later. We don't have to put it on Sunday, but it has been requested that I do that. So,
all right.
And if you want to have it, you can. But
I want y'all to be praying about this, because I sat and asked the kids before this happened, were they afraid? And they're truly afraid. And we need to really help them in their walk and their faith and build them up. Right. And I was thinking about even doing that myself with the kids.
We'll have to get two cameras.
Yeah. I might just, I'll do it. I'll get one.
Or you could do it at home.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Either way. But I'm going to do mine downstairs at 9:45 Sunday morning. Then we'll have the regular, just like we did last Sunday.
Amen.
And those of you that are here, we're going to, Brother Luis and I are going to send a message to the brothers in Chile and different place, Colombia and all that, after this. So if you want to stay, you can. If you don't, we're going to cut it off and then cut it back on. And then he's going to interpret a message that just for 5 or 10 minutes.
Amen.
For the brothers. They've requested to know how we're doing over here.
Yes.
So we're going to do that. We're done. But let's dismiss first.
Amen. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Oh, Lord God, I believe in this hour, Lord, You've given us a consolation where we can look into Your word, and where You said, fear not, little flock. We might be a little flock that be set on all sides, Lord, like the children of Israel down in Goshen, all the different ones all throughout the Bible that were beset about on all sides, Lord. But You came on the scene, Lord, in every situation and every circumstance, and You wrought out a great, mighty deliverance by the hand of a living God. You brought the children across the Red Sea. You brought them into the promised land. And I believe, Lord God, that You're still on the scene for us in this hour, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, that You'll, Lord, work a special deliverance in all the people's hearts, Lord, that they'll not be afraid in this hour, Lord God, that You'll, Lord, speak to them in a special way tonight, Lord God, to know that there's nothing to fear, not to be afraid of in this hour, Lord Jesus. The prophet told us, Lord, that that's what the devil wants to do, is cause us to be afraid above everything else, to put fear on us. And now is not the hour to be afraid. Granted, Lord God, that You'll go with Your little bride through all their little homes and all the places, Lord Jesus, whether they might still have to be driving driving trucks or going out into the places of business, Lord, that you'll just go with them and protect them and keep them, Lord Jesus. And we know, Lord God, that you've given us the power of the gospel in us to keep us, and you're watching over us, and you have not left us, and you have not forsaken us. And we know it, and we believe it, Lord Jesus. We're trusting, Lord Jesus, you'll be with your people, Lord. We believe it, Lord God, because we agree with your word. We agree with it because you've given the agreeer in us, Lord Jesus. You've given us the token, Lord God, over our homes, Lord Jesus, that, Lord, that we can look to and have faith, Lord Jesus, that you're protecting us and keeping us. Grant it now, Lord God, as this little group goes our separate ways and all the different ones in their homes go to bed tonight, Lord God, that you'll let us rest with our heads on our pillows and give us a peaceful rest tonight, Lord Jesus, knowing that you're watching over us, Lord Jesus, knowing that we're still in the palm of your hand, that you've got us, Lord Jesus. You're watching over us, Lord, like a hen over her brood, Lord God. We're nestled deep within your wings, Lord Jesus, under your protection, under the shadow of your love. We know, Lord God, that you've got us right where you want us. Grant it, Lord Jesus, that you increase our faith, Lord Jesus. We believe, Lord Jesus, but help our faith. We ask these things and this blessing upon your people, Lord God, that you'll be with them, Lord God, and help them in this time of trouble. We pray in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
You're dismissed.